Title of this message today is Released and Free. And we started the message, I'm not going to read through the whole scripture, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, you know, it's given us kind of end times, true end times, things that are going to happen. And it says some things that are pretty uncomfortable. One of those being verse 15 of that scripture that says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And unfortunately, we live in a time when very few preachers will even talk about the reality of hell. In fact, we've got a whole bunch of them trying to do away with it and trying to act like it doesn't even exist. And there is no lake of fire, you know, that there is no eternal torment and those kind of things. But I'm telling you that what you believe matters, and you better have your name written in the book. Above anything and everything else that you could ever want to attain in this life, you want your name written in the book, because anything and everything else will not matter in the end. Amen? And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, because, you know, how you live your life does matter. And when Christ is in your life, you're going to look different. It may not be exactly perfect. Of course, it's not going to be, especially up front. But there should be some changes happening. There should be some things happening. But the way those changes happen is when your mind is being renewed by the Word of God, right? And so you want to make sure your name is in the book, but you don't want to just make sure your name is in the book. You want to live your life in a way to where you can help a bunch of other people get their name written in the book. And so Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this is the NLT I'm using for this one. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. And he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. Now, this is Jesus talking. He's describing basically what his ministry is going to be. But do you know that when he's describing his ministry here, he's also describing your ministry? And so one of the things I want to key in here is that there's two words used here, released and free. And here's the thing the Lord dropped in my heart the other day. Many people are released. The prison door is open. Legally, your pardon has been written in blood. The blood of Jesus. And so you are released legally, but not necessarily free. And there's a lot of people who are released, yet they still sit in a jail cell or a prison cell, the door wide open, but they never leave the cell. And so everyone knows what it's like to be in some sort of a prison. You know, we have folks in here that maybe have been in prison, an actual prison, that physical bars that they've had to sit behind before. But even if you've never been in that kind of a prison, most everybody knows what it's like to be in a mind prison. And so you want to be not just released, but you want to be free. It is for freedom, right, that he set us free. Jesus loves to see his people living free, not free to sin, but free from sin. And so you want to live that way. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 talks about the struggle that we have and says that it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers. King James says principalities. Basically goes down to describe lots of demonic spiritual forces that come against God's people. I want to tell you, Christianity is not a cakewalk. Christianity, no one ever said that it would be easy, at least not naturally, right? It's not a cakewalk, but you have everything you need for life and godliness. It's been made available for you. But many people don't tap into that. They don't take a hold of that. And somehow or another, they would rather sit in the prison of their mind feeling sorry for themselves, being a victim, instead of getting up and getting out and being who God called them to be, a force for the kingdom of God on this earth. And so we talked about those principalities, and that basically a principality is a powerful ruler. It's someone in authority. But we also know that any time that word is used, typically in the scripture, it's talking about demonic principality, all right? And, you know, I don't know how people don't understand or don't believe, they choose not to believe that devils are real, but I want to tell you they're very real, and they are interacting all the time with humanity, trying to cause people to stumble. And listen, here's the devil's greatest weapon, the lie. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. And if he can lie to you and get you to believe that lie, then he can set up in you what's called a stronghold. All right? And so Paul deals with that about tearing down those strongholds and about taking thoughts, every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. It's a choice that you have to make. You can either sit and stew in those thoughts and allow those things to just continue to build and build until you have a stronghold that rules your life, or you can stand up through the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, with the word of God, take that thought captive and say, I will not accept that. I will not receive that. This is what God says about me. So because of strongholds, people are hurting all over the world. And I mean, many in society are being imprisoned mentally and physically and spiritually, all because of strongholds, because they simply believe the lie. And I always tell people, if you are bound up in anything, no matter what it is, what you really need to do is go back and find out what lie you believe that got you there. And if you can find that lie and root that lie out, you can walk and you can live free. Again, many people are released, but they're not free. And God's intention for you is to live free. Amen. No Christian, no child of God should ever be in bondage. Now, it's not, many times it's not because they don't want to be free, it's just they don't know how. And they don't know how because they have no idea what God's word says. And so what happens is people say, pray for me, I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so somebody prays with them, maybe, you know, leads them to Christ, prays with them, but they continue to think on the same things they've always thought of. They continue to go down the same path because their mind takes them down the same path they've always been with, because they have strongholds, and the strongholds have to be broken. How are they broken? By the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. And if you don't do that, you will always be bound to something. So the devil understands that to gain control of the mind is ultimately to have control of the soul. Now, we teach here, we understand we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, and we live in a body. Now, if the enemy can control your soul, if he can control your mind, we'll say it this way, then he controls all of your soul. Well, what is that? He's going to control the way I feel, my emotions. He's going to control the choices I make, my will, right? Why? Because he has control of the mind, makes me think a certain way. I'm going to choose certain things, and I'm going to feel a certain way. And so if you let those demonic thoughts stay in your mind, they will develop a stronghold. Now, I said this last week, I'll say it again. They're sneaky, and they're, you know, anything from the enemy is, well, there's nothing godly about it at all. And so they're, I'm going to say it this way, they're pretty promiscuous, those thoughts. So one comes in, and he looks out there, and he sees one he likes, and he says, hey, you come on in here too. And so that other thought, demonic thought comes in, that other lie comes in, and you have no defense because you're welcoming the first lie. It's going to invite another lie. Then those two lies are going to get together, and they're going to start making all kind of baby lies. And the next thing you know, you got a whole army of lies living in your head, and it's called a stronghold. And so that has to be broken. And so the devil, this is how the devil caused the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, because he convinced Eve in the beginning that something was not true, that God had already spoken over them that they were very good, and that somehow God was holding out on them. He convinced her when God said, look, I'm giving you everything. It's all yours. Rule over all of it. Just leave that one tree alone. And people are always going after the thing that God says you shouldn't go after. Right? We can't let God have anything. We want to, it's like the little boy at McDonald's, and he wanted some French fries, and his daddy bought him some French fries, and they're sitting there, and the little boy's eating the French fries, and then the daddy says, hey, can I have one of them French fries? He says, no, that's my French fries. He said, well, yeah, but I want one. He said, no, you can't have it. That's my French fries. So then the daddy wisely takes all the French fries and says, you need to understand, I bought these French fries. These are my French fries I'm letting you eat, right? See, it's a whole different mindset, right? So anyway, in the garden, God gave everything to Adam and Eve, But he says, but I want this tree. I want you to leave it alone. But instead, they had to have it. And it's the same way in life. And now we've inherited that thing where if the door says do not open, you want to open it. Right? If a sign says do not do this, your nature wants to do it. Right? So I tell the story years ago. I had a good friend. And this was bad. This was a bad thing to do. But we were in a little private school, and we had these little dividers between us. And it was like one long, long desk and had these little dividers. And so we were always kind of trying to prank each other. And he had soaked down this piece of wad of paper with, it was some kind of a cologne, but it was real strong, some kind of cheap cologne. And I mean, he soaked that thing down and he threw it in my little office, my little cubicle. So I thought, I'm going to get him back. So I wrote up on a piece of paper, do not open. And I folded that thing up. And I hate to have to say this from the pulpit, but I'm going to say, I put the biggest, slimiest booger you ever saw in that piece of paper. And I wrote, do not open. And I slid that underneath that thing, and he got it, and I could see him. I could almost hear him thinking, you know, he wasn't going to open it. He wasn't going to open it, but then he couldn't help himself. And he opened it. And then I hear him go, ooh, gross! You know. And, of course, I started laughing, and both of us started laughing, and we have to go get a spanking because it was a real strict school. But anyway, there's just something about that carnal nature that wants to do what God said don't do, right? So the Bible tells us that the weapons that we fight with are not, they're not natural. They're not carnal. King James says they're not carnal. They're not of the flesh. It's going to be weapons of the Spirit. What empowers us is when we speak what God has said, then devils have, listen, they recognize his voice through his words. When I speak what God says, devils have to, they have to bow. They have to move. But when I come into agreement with the same thing the devil says, I'm giving him authority now to move into my situation and wreak havoc. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Literally, that means as he reckons in his soul, so is he. That word reckons means thinks, estimates, acts as a gatekeeper. So whatever words you allow into your mind and that you meditate on, that you think on, they are going to control you, and they're going to be a gatekeeper that keeps the right stuff out. So you have to force them out. It is a battle. And you have to force them out. Now, the devil knows that the way a person thinks is how that person is going to act. What you believe is going to determine what you do. I used this example the other day, too, that, you know, how many of you have ever been in a situation, maybe an argument, maybe, I don't know, maybe a conversation with your spouse or someone else on the job or whatever, and you have a thought, and the Holy Spirit's trying to warn you, don't say it. Don't you say it. And then what happens? Because you really believe it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say it. And then once you say it, sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, why did I say that? But what you really believe is going to come out. It's going to show itself. And you're going to act on that. Now, this is actually my starting point now. 2 Corinthians 4:4. All the rest of that was review, but it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds. Everybody say minds. The minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And notice it's a little g, the God of this age or the God of this world, the God of this cosmos. It's a little g. He has permission to wreak havoc on people who are not under the blood. He bought that right. He got that. He got it from Adam and Eve. God had given that authority to Adam and Eve. They gave it over to the enemy. And so for those who refuse to get under the spout where the blood comes out, like they say, they stay under the authority of the evil one. And so he just wreaks havoc in their life. Now, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern or the cycle of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that word transformed because, you know, some people, I guess, like stuff. I asked, how many of you like to touch larvae in the first service? And a few people raised their hands. I said, you sick people, sick people. But a larva, when you look at that, that's a nasty looking little creature. But God takes that thing and turns it into one of the most beautiful things you could ever lay your eyes on, a butterfly. It's amazing that God can do that. Well, he does the same thing in our life. He takes the ugly, nasty, stuff that nobody even wants to touch or be around, and he takes it and he turns it into something beautiful that the world has to take note of. Well, how does that happen? It happens when we no longer conform to the pattern or the cycle. What is a stronghold? It's a thinking pattern. It's a life strategy that gets set up in your mind to where if this happens, this is what I do. If this happens, this is what I say. And we have these things that are just there. Some of it got passed down from our parents or their parents or whatever. And it's thinking patterns. Do you know that generational curses are really nothing more than me coming into agreement with something that was a curse for my family? That's why you have to break that stuff. I said last week, if you follow my line all the way up, you're going to see all kind of bad stuff. You look into my ancestors, you're going to see all kinds of terrible things. But I want to tell you, the buck stops here. God redeems the name of my family. The blood redeems the name of my family. It stops here. It can't go on any further. I've talked to people who say, but you don't know, I'm a so-and-so. My last name is so-and-so. And I say, well, so? I have a new identity in Christ Jesus, right? The old is gone, the new has come. I'm not the same person I used to be. And neither are you if you've been born again. But it goes on to say that if you will do this, if you will choose to not, in other words, I'm not going to believe the stuff the world is trying to cram down my throat. I'm not going to dwell on the same things that the world dwells on. I'm not going to live in that same cycle, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And what is going to renew my mind? The Word of God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You know what that means to me? It means that you're going to live out His will for your life. You're going to test and approve it. You're going to prove that it's possible to be different than this world. Amen? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now remember, a stronghold is a mindset that is impregnated with hopelessness that causes a person to accept as unchangeable something in their lives, even though they know it goes contrary to the will of God. I heard Sister Sonia say, I began to think I could walk. The doctors didn't think she could walk. They wanted to put her in a nursing home. They thought she would not get out of that wheelchair, that she would be bound in that bed or whatever. But something happened. Her thinking came in alignment with God's thinking instead of the world's thinking, and here she is. I'm telling you, you better grab a hold of that. It's within our minds that the devil has bound us into thinking that this is the way a certain situation is supposed to be, and there's not a thing that we can do about it. And I hear people who live in all kinds of perverse lifestyles and everything else, and they say, this is what they say, they believe the lie, they bought it. God must have made me this way. God must have intended for me to be this way. This is just the way I was born, and there's not a thing I can do about it. So I just need to embrace it. I'm here to tell you that you need to find that new creation that God intended you to be and begin to live that out. You do not have to stay bound in sin of any kind. So he convinces us to believe that something is real even though it's not. When we believe something in our minds, it alters the way we perceive a certain thing. And that perception causes us to begin to act and live according to what we believe. And you know what? Here's the thing about perception. What you perceive to be true is true to you, whether it's true or not. And so you have to be careful that you are embracing real truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Understand that truth is what you want, and it's that truth that makes you free. When our mind is renewed by the truth, it breaks the strongholds and breaks the bondages and sets us free. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, just like he called you and me out of the tomb, because we were dead in sin, he was not content to let Lazarus stay in the grave clothes. First thing he did is he told the people, take those grave clothes off him. Get that man free. Amen. You know what that tells me? That you and I can have an impact on someone helping them to get free. But it also tells me he never wanted me to be bound. So whatever and whoever controls your soul, your mind, will, and emotions controls you. Without welcomed interference, everybody say welcomed interference. Without welcomed interference from the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Because understand, he is a gentleman and he's not going to force himself on anybody. But he will certainly go where he's welcomed. Amen. I welcome him to interfere. I want him to convict me so hard I can't sleep at night when I need it. I welcome his interference. The problem is sometimes we don't like the way the interference comes, because sometimes it comes from a spouse, or it comes from a friend, or it comes from a pastor, or it comes from somebody, right? And so we don't always like that interference, but we need that interference. Amen? That soul controlled by demonic influence will involve the physical body in its dirty work. So once the enemy is speaking to your soul, to your mind, it affects your emotions, it affects your choices, and it's going to get your body doing stuff that your body was never intended to do. So if we look at the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, it says, "We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim, and we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." I tell you, one of the most powerful things here in this story is the fact that they themselves defined their situation by the way they saw themselves instead of the way God saw them. Now, it's not that they were great, but they had a God on their side who already said, "I've given you the land." And so they go and they see the obstacles. And can I tell you, there will always be obstacles. They see the giants. There will always be giants. They go and they see the obstacles. And instead of seeing those obstacles the way God sees those obstacles, as things that need to be brought down, they begin to say, "Oh man, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes too." They begin to say, "I'm nothing but a grasshopper," and we look the same to them. What they didn't know is the Bible says that their hearts, the giants, the people on the other side, their hearts were already melting with fear because they'd already heard how the Lord had delivered God's people from Egypt. And so while they were fretting and saying, "We're just little grasshoppers," the enemy's out there full of fear, afraid that the Israelites are coming. And as a result of that mindset, which was not the mindset from God, they could not go and get what God said was theirs. Now, God already, what did he do? He released them. He opened the prison door, but they stayed sitting in the prison. They were released, but they weren't free. All right? And you had Joshua and Caleb who said, "You know what? I believe God. I don't care what anybody says." In fact, I love when you read about Caleb. He straight up stood in front of the people and he said, "Y'all just need to shut up." That's what he said. That he silenced the people. "Y'all need to shut your mouths. This is what God has said, and we can take the land," right? And so the enemy is always going to try to keep you under its control, so it's always going to say you cannot do what God said you can do. Now, again, it's based on what God said you can do. We're not talking about humanism here. We're not talking about me being, "I just have to believe that I'm a great person and I can do this." No, you can do what God said you can do, right? So the devil had a stronghold on their mind, caused them to believe something that was unchangeable, even though it was contrary to the will of God, because God had made his will known to the people. "I'm giving you this land." By the way, they're in that land today, right? Same land, right? There are basically three types of building material that the devil uses. Now, I want to tell you, this is pretty elemental, but this must be understood. Three types of building material the devil uses to build a stronghold in a person's mind. And we find that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So what kind of thinking is going to align with the demonic, with that which is of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life? And so those are the three types of building materials the devil uses to build strongholds. And those are the exact same types of temptations, we'll say, that he used against Eve in the garden. Exact same thing. And it's the exact same temptations he came against Christ with. And I don't blame the devil, because it worked for Adam and Eve. So here comes Jesus. Here comes the Messiah. Well, let's try it with him too. But the difference is Adam and Eve failed. Jesus prevailed. Amen. Why? Because Jesus said, you can come at me with that all you want, but devil, it is written. He went back at the enemy with what God had said. Now, the enemy got Eve to doubt what God had said. He said, did God really say this? Right? So understand, he knows, the devil knows more than most Christians about the power of the Word of God. And so if we surrender ourselves to those three things there, any of those three things, we will become bound by them. All the devil comes at us with, there's all kinds of, tricks and things that he comes at us with, but they all boil down to those same three things, those three avenues that the devil uses to attack us. Now, John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Or that could be literally means literally free, really free. All right? If the Son sets you free. Well, how does he set you free? Well, he's already done all the work he needs to do on the cross, through the beating, through the resurrection. He's already done all that. But he didn't just do that. He also left us his word. And so John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So God didn't leave us here on our own. And I'm amazed that in the United States of America, where we have Bibles everywhere, I mean, they're everywhere. And if you don't have a paper Bible, I guarantee you can get one on your phone, or you can get it on CD, or some of y'all, if you still got a cassette player, you can get it on cassette tapes. I mean, but none of us have an excuse not to know the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, it's because we have chosen not to know the Word of God. We have been lazy. So God wants us to live free. But he says, this is how you do it. You have to change the way you think. And the only way to really change the way you think, see, we don't even know our thinking is wrong until it's exposed by the Word of God. People say from time to time, they go, I don't want to go to no church because them people will try to brainwash you over there. My answer is absolutely. Your brain needs to be washed. That thing is filthy. We all need a good brainwashing. Right? That thing is filthy. It's called renewing your mind by the Word of God. Doesn't mean people are trying to control you. But listen, you are controlled by somebody. So many people, they're so scared that people are going to control them, and they don't even realize they're already being controlled by demonic entities with a method called strongholds that sets up. And now here's the thing. You have to tear that stronghold down through the Word of God. But you can't just tear it down. You got to build another stronghold up based on the Word of God. You have to set up an impenetrable wall with God's Word where the enemy cannot come, where you can take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. So it's like the picture of the person who was, demon-possessed. And Jesus said, even if you cast that devil out, you need to make sure that you fill that space that was evicted by that devil. You better fill it with something. You fill it with the Word of God. You fill it with truth. Otherwise, that devil's coming back with seven buddies. And it's going to be way worse than what it was at first. And so it's up to us. There are some things he has done for us, but then there are other things we have to do. Right? And so nobody has an excuse. So we know what the devil comes to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come to bring life, and I want you to have it to the full. But the only way you're going to have it to the full is when you truly know him and know his will by knowing his word. When we're bound by the devil, we're not living life to the full. You're living like a fool, but you're not living life to the full. And God wants you to live released and free from bondage so that you can experience life to the full. And listen, experiencing the released and free life is not just a one-time thing. How many of you discovered that? And you don't have just one stronghold that the enemy puts in your life. As you go through and you're reading that word and you're spending time with the Father, I want to tell you, as you go through doing that, you're going to have thoughts that are going to be exposed, and you go, wow, I didn't even realize that was against God. I didn't even realize that this was doing damage to me. and doing damage to others. It's a lifetime of experiencing conviction from the Holy Spirit, followed by obedience in every area of life that keeps you free. See, you have to maintain your freedom. It's a choice that you make. And all it takes is for you to believe one lie and let that lie replace what God's word has said, and you're setting yourself up for bondage, right? So the key element in deliverance lays within you, the individual. Again, a stronghold is a mindset that is impregnated with hopelessness that causes a person to accept as unchangeable something in their lives, even though they know it's contrary to the will of God. So the first stronghold to tear down is the one that says, I can't change. That's the first one. That's the strongest lie he can give you, is that it's impossible for you to change. To live in the freedom that Christ purchased for you, he doesn't want you to believe that. You have to change the way you think to get there. So remember Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Once you change the way you think by choosing to line your thinking up with the word of God, and I'll add this, and pleading the blood of Jesus over your mind, because I believe devils have to bounce off that blood. I don't think they can penetrate it. But you no longer have to accept that something is unchangeable. If you accept that something is unchangeable, I'm telling you, it'll never change. You have to expose that lie. We serve a supernatural impossibility work in God. You know, the school we went to, it's called IBC, and it was called International Bible College. But the I, B, and C became known as impossibilities become challenges. See, it's going to be a challenge, but the challenge is lining myself up with what God says and opposing what my nature says. So you possess the key element needed, which is faith. How do I get that? Faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing the word of God. It's more than just reading, but it's hearing what he's saying to you. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I love that. I no longer have to just hope it'll happen. I know it's going to happen, right? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I love it. Sister Sonia, sitting there in that wheelchair and them legs ain't moving. What I see is some legs that ain't moving. But what I hear from the Spirit of God is, I think I can walk. I like this definition of faith. Faith is not standing at the edge of darkness when God has told you to take a step. Now, keep in mind, when God has told you to take a step, and wondering if the next step is going to throw you off a cliff or not. Faith is knowing that when you take that step, that God is either going to give you something solid to stand on or suspend the law of gravity, if need be, to uphold you. He's going to do what he needs to do. That's faith. Right? Now, notice, you know, I'm wondering about, we're working on Dr. Leger around here. We have a man sitting right here in the back who was crippled 24 years, who God healed. You'll meet him. I'm going to make sure you meet him. 24 years, and God healed him. He wanted to stay and hear your testimony. And so Dr. Leger told him, I don't know how to explain this. There's no way medically speaking to explain this. This is a miracle if I've ever seen a miracle, right? Well, we're going to have him talking about another miracle here. Amen? So notice I said when God has told you to take a step, make sure that the step you're taking is the step that God is telling you to take. Because faith cannot exist without a word from God. If God didn't direct it, if it didn't originate with him, then it's not faith. It's nothing but foolishness or presumption. And you want to be careful to stay out of those and stay in faith. God, what are you telling me to do? Not just some wild hair I came up with, but what are you telling me to do? What did you put in my heart? And one way to know that is I like to ask the question, would the devil have told me that? It must have been God. So anything else, again, without a word of God is either foolishness or presumption. Faith is being able to believe that God will make a way out of no way when you are following his lead. The phrase, according to your faith, appears 10 times in the Bible. By your faith appears 74 times in the Bible. The word faith itself appears 339 times in the Bible. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, when you go down that line, Pastor Cindy and I have been talking about this a lot. When you follow that line of people, down through the Old Testament, what you're going to see is a bunch of messed up people. I'll tell you what, they all messed up, right? They all messed up. But there is something about them that got them through. And you know what it was? They believed when God spoke. They believed the impossible. Abraham, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. You're going to be, you know, 90 and 100. You're going to, people that shouldn't be having babies. And it says they believed. And I want you to notice something. When it talks about those, the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, it doesn't just talk about Abraham believing. It talks about the fact that Sarah believed as well. Amen. Faith causes us to believe that the situation is changeable, which causes us to seek a change or a transformation, not only in actions, but also in our thoughts. And it all starts with the thoughts. Now listen, I'm not talking here just simply about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the power of thinking like God thinks. I'm talking about the power of thinking His thoughts, knowing that He cannot fail. Amen? So not only in actions, but in our thoughts. Because I'm thinking differently now, I'm going to act differently now. Because I'm thinking in accordance with the Word of God, I'm going to do things different than the world would have me do. And it moves me from victimhood to victory. And I've been released from demonic bondage to live in freedom. Amen. Not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. And this freedom experience cannot happen unless you first change the way you're thinking. Because the mind, listen, how many of you remember the old commercial? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Right? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. I would just like to say the mind is just a terrible thing if you don't have God involved with it. Right? The unrenewed mind is a terrible thing, period. So the mind not led by the Holy Spirit is dangerous. You turn on the news today and you see things happen and you go, how could people do things like that? The mind unrenewed by the Word of God is a dangerous thing. Don't let the devil have control of your mind, and you will not be in bondage. If you are in bondage of any kind, I guarantee you, you need to trace that thing back down to the lie that you believed. You need to uproot that lie and get yourself free. You can do it. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? We can think like Jesus thought. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace. How many of you know people who are in bondage don't have any peace? You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. God wants to bring you out to freedom. Why? So he can present you to those who are still in captivity so that he can release and free them from the grips of the enemy using your life to do it. Jesus shed his blood, all of his blood, so that we could not only be free, but so that we could also free others. When you begin to live that life, now you find eternal purpose. Now you find out what life was really supposed to be about. That it wasn't just chasing a bigger house or a better car or more money or more popularity or fame or any of that. It's about making an eternal difference in the lives of people who are bound on their way to hell, to the lake of fire, and we want to get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to get free so I can help some people get free. Amen? Because we want to impact this world. Listen, we don't have long. We don't know when it's coming, but we know it's coming. And we don't have long to do what we have to do as the body of Christ. So we got to get busy doing it. So won't you tell your neighbor, you need to get free so you can set some people free. And you know what? It won't cost you anything. It's free. Now listen, if you're here today, you may be in a situation where you say, I want to be free. I want to be more free than I am. I'm going to ask you today for you. I can't do it for you. I can agree with you. But I'm going to ask you today to begin to call out to the Lord to give you a hunger for his word. Listen, it shouldn't be that way like Pastor Cindy was talking about to where we use it like NyQuil, right? It should be that word grips the. See, if it's putting us to sleep, it's only because our heart's not connected to it. But when you begin to see God, meet God in the pages of his word, it changes everything. So I want to encourage you, ask God to just help you to have such a hunger, such a thirst for His Word. Stop making excuses for not getting into it and just do it. Now, Father, I thank You that we can't even do that without Your help. So we're asking for Your help. I'm asking You, Jesus, to reveal Yourself to Your people through Your Word. I'm asking You to give us such a hunger, such a thirst, Lord God, to hear what You're saying to us. And Lord, we know that You speak to our spirit and You bring faith to our spirit and You put the spirit back in charge where it's supposed to be when we are listening to what You are saying. Father, we don't want to be bound. Lord, we want to feel the things You want us to feel, not the way the world wants us to feel. We want to say the things You want us to say. We want to believe the things You want us to believe. We want the mind of Christ, Lord, because we have a purpose and it's an eternal purpose. And Father, we refuse to waste our life chasing things that will not matter in the end. Father, raise up a people who will not be satisfied with being satisfied, that will not be satisfied with what the world has to offer. But Lord, may we hunger, may we thirst for Your presence. May we hunger and thirst for Your Word. Make Yourself known to us, Jesus. Lord, we just want to say yes to You. Fill us with Your Spirit. We surrender ourselves. Why don't you go ahead and say it out of your mouth? I surrender my all to You, Jesus. Fill me with Your Spirit. Saturate me, Holy Spirit. May I be a bright, shining light for You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.